God bless you. This is Pastor Dwayne Waterman, and welcome to the Life Tough Podcast. So happy to come into your homes and your phones. I'm excited to be with you today. I love this platform because I call this platform personal pastoring, right? Because this is my favorite platform because I am a preacher, I am a teacher, I'm a mentor, a businessman. Yeah, all those slashes that everybody has these days. But actually, where I believe my anointing works the strongest and is the most profound is really in conversation. And so I want to be your personal pastor in this moment, your personal encourager, your coach, and just a person who is in your corner. I want you to know that I am for you. And I know you might not have a lot of those people in your life. And so this particular podcast is near and dear to my heart. And it's based upon a teaching that I also have in my YouTube and in our church Facebook that I preached. And this teaching and this focus I want to share with you is titled Health is Wealth. Health is wealth. So I want to begin a conversation with you to talk about your healing. So I want you to think about all the broken places in your life, whether there are broken places spiritually for you, whether it's broken places in your heart, broken places in your mind and in your body or in your relationships or in your finances, wherever you are broken. I want you to know that is not God's best for you. God's desire and God's will for you is that you be made whole. And this conversation, I believe, will have this moment, this ministry moment, I believe will have my desire. And God has inspired me with your wholeness in mind, that this conversation and this journey that we're going to embark on will lead to your healing and lead to your wholeness. Because so many things has happened in your life to try to break you. And God saw it all. He has not fell asleep at the wheel. But the Bible says he sent his word and he healed them. That his word is a part of the solution to your brokenness. It is a solution to healing. And so we're going to get in this. And this is a conversation I'm excited to have. Because there's so many misconceptions around healing in the Christian community. There's so much ignorance. And this is personally near and dear to my heart. Because I'm going to bring out personal experiences that I've had in church around healing and the subject that I think will be a blessing and informative for you. So I hope you're excited. I hope you are ready for this journey we're about to embark on, because your healing, and I hear the Spirit wants you to know your healing begins now. Let's get into this. Health is wealth. All right, let's start and begin with a scripture that I want to read that I think will help us to understand health and from a biblical perspective. Because the stories in the Bible are meant to teach us. Sometimes they're there to teach us about God. Sometimes they're there to teach us about us. Sometimes they're there to teach us about life. Sometimes they're there to teach us what to do and what not to do. So Luke chapter 13, verse 11 has a story that I love. And it reads, "And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. That's a long time to be sick. That's a long time to be sick. And you may have gone through something for a long time. A lot of times people don't know how long you've been dealing with certain things. And I want you to know there are people in the Bible that can identify with you. That almost 2 decades, this woman had this spirit of infirmity. And the Bible says, and she was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. So this spirit of infirmity literally bent her body, and it made her kind of keel over and be in a posture that she was permanently tipped over, where I can imagine that as she would walk, she would see more of the ground than she would the sky. Could you imagine how that's how you lived your life, that you struggle to look people in the eye, or you struggle to walk or walk upstairs and just to get around in general? I just want you to see the scene of how her life was challenged by this sickness. And sometimes we don't understand when we're going, or when people are going through things, or people may have not understand that, like, what you've been going through, what it has done to your life, what it has done. Sometimes when people are going through a sickness, it has done so much to their life that it has compromised how they do their everyday activities. It has compromised how they think. It has compromised their hopes or their dreams or their relationships or how they even spend their money. And we always just look at the physical effects of sickness, but what about the psychological ones? What about the emotional ones? And this woman for 18 years was bowed over, could in no wise lift herself up. And we thank God that's not the end of the story, though. It's only the beginning. And the Bible says, and when Jesus saw her, he called her to him. And he said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Oh, wow. That's wonderful. Thank God Jesus saw her. And I want you to know that Jesus sees you. He sees what you've been going through. He sees what has bowed you over for however many years. He sees what no one knows. And this word is calling you to him to be healed. And he said, woman, be loose from thy infirmity. And laid his hands, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. I can imagine her joy. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, this is what this person from the synagogue said. He says, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, but not on the Sabbath day. But then the Lord answered unto him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead them away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan, oh, look at that, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by Jesus. Now, I want you to see and want to concentrate on certain things that this scripture lets us know. It lets us know that sometimes you can go through things for a long time, and it could complicate your life, and you can be sick for a long time. And we see in the scripture that Jesus can heal you of what you've gone through for a long time. What this scripture also lets us know is that everybody is not going to be happy about your healing. That you getting well in the areas of your life that have been broken is not going to be a good event for everybody. Now, you would think for as many years as she was bound, they would just automatically rejoice. But they were more concerned about the protocols of the Sabbath than they were this woman. And sometimes that's what religion can do. It can focus more on the protocols and the procedures more than it does the actual people and their plight. And in this particular situation, here is Jesus looking at this woman and seeing her pain and not worried about the Sabbath day. He worried about her, and he keyed in on her, and he focused on her and healed her. But people didn't rejoice. So that lets me know your sickness. There's something about your sickness that's good for people. There's something about your sickness. There's something about your infirmity that there are people that have made adjustments and maybe even benefit from you being sick. Maybe you're not as strong as you usually would be. Maybe you're not as on the go as you may usually would be. And that sickness, people have been using and abusing you in your sick state. And people are not worried about you. And that's what sickness often does when we really get sick. It really identifies who is for us. And really, when you get sick a long time, I mean, if you're sick for a couple of days, you know, you'll have people come bring you soup, you know, a couple of days and drop stuff off to your house. But 18 years, they're dropping it off. They're going to drop it off for 18 years. You think somebody's going to drop off to you? I hope you got friends and family that would do it for 18 years. But I would imagine that in the 18 years, this woman may have lost some people. Because sometimes when you got to be cared for a long time, people don't have that type of stamina. But we thank God that she was loosed. But there are certain people that are not going to be happy about you getting well. And they're going to rationalize the circumstance. Oh, you're getting well. Don't you need to take it easy? I mean, do you need to start driving now? Because they've built a system around your sickness. Because there's a lot of people that may gain financially from your sickness. They may gain in position around your sickness. They may gain in stature because of your sickness. And if you get well, their position, their spot, their financial gain is in jeopardy. But I thank God that no matter what other people might be taking from you because of your sickness, Jesus has come to heal you anyway. And so I want you to see all of these points in this scripture that you could be going through something for a long time, but still maintain your hope for healing. Don't let sickness become your normal. I know, like this woman, it may be 18 years, but Jesus can see you and he can heal you. And don't worry about the systems that people built around your sickness. Because when you get well, you're going to regulate everything that's been wrong in your life. You'll have the strength to be able to do it. Now, there's a key word in this scripture that I want to identify, and the Bible mentions it, and I thought it was critical for us to talk about in this conversation. In one of the scriptures, he called her a daughter of Abraham, a daughter. She was a daughter of Abraham. And it says, and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound. Now, that's interesting that she was going through this for 18 years. What if she thought it was God? The Bible says Satan had bound her these 18 years, and he said, ought not this woman be loose? It's kind of saying that, hold on, she a daughter of Abraham. She shouldn't even be going through this. So there's certain things that people are going through that they might not or should not be going through. And he's saying, even though she had this for 18 years, and that's kind of like a tough thing to say when you've been going through something for a long time. I can see how somebody could get mad. What do you mean I shouldn't have been going through this for 18 years? Well, he said she was a daughter of Abraham, and that phrase, daughter of Abraham, speaks to a covenant. speaks to a promise. She shouldn't be like this. She's a daughter of Abraham. In other words, he was saying she was a Jew. If I would put it in kind of the vernacular we use in my part of the Christian community, she's saved. She's saved and she should be loose from this. She shouldn't even be going through this. And y'all want to talk about this and y'all let your ox go free and your asses go free. And y'all mad at this woman is free because she's a daughter of Abraham. And that begs the question, what are you going through that as a believer you shouldn't be going through? And we see you can be going through it for a long time. And that just because you're going through it for a long time doesn't make it the will of God for you to go through. Just like this woman. But Satan had bound her. So that means it is possible to be saved and sick. It must be possible then, like this woman was a daughter of Abraham, but she had the spirit of infirmity. So it must beg the question, it should be possible then to be saved and sick. Nothing is inherently wrong with the person, but it is possible to be saved and sick. But I'm letting you know, you don't have to stay that way. You can be loosed from your bonds. Now, during this series, I want to cover certain questions or thoughts or ideologies as we go across this teaching. Number one question I want to go over, or number one topic I want to go over, is what is sickness? We're going to talk about what is sickness. Number two, we're going to talk about the root of sickness, the root of all sickness. What is it? What is the root of all sickness? Where does this all start? Where does sickness all start? Number three, I want to talk about, is sickness of God? Is sickness of God? Because a lot of times there are people who think that sickness is of God, right? Number four, I want to talk about, is healing for everyone? Because sometimes I've heard in the church that some people get healed and some people don't. And so I want to just talk about the idea, is healing for everyone. Then number five, I want to talk about the topic, is healing for today? Is healing for today? Because a lot of people feel like it, the healing, divine healing days have passed away. It was just something that happened in biblical times, and it's really not for us today. Okay, and then number six, I want to talk about why some people seem like they don't get healed. I want to talk about this notion of why some people don't get healed. Okay, and then number seven, I want to talk about this powerful subject, and I want to talk about, does God bring pain and sickness to teach or train his children? Does God bring pain and or sickness to teach or to train his children? I've heard people say that in the church, that, you know, God has given me this, whatever they're going through, to humble me or to give me a thorn in the flesh and all of that type of stuff. And so we're going to talk about that. And then finally, I want to talk about, did Jesus defeat sickness and disease once and for all? All right. So I'm going to go an interesting way in our conversation to approach these questions. So all throughout this series, I'm going to be attacking those questions. All right. So if you would be so kind, join me on this journey by, if you are listening, I know you made you driving, or, you know, I know some of you actually follow along with me. So if you are following, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. And the great thing I learned about being on a podcast, I don't have to stop for anybody. You can stop me yourself. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Now, other translations translate that scripture, which I love, and it modernizes it. And it says, "For God is not a God of disorder, but a God of peace." God is not a God of disorder. So I want us to know that God is letting us know about himself. And this Christian journey is really us all learning more about who our God is. And as we discover who our God is, it informs us who we are and what we can do and what we can be. So it lets us know about our God in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 33, that our God is not a God of confusion. So that helped me a great deal. Whenever I was confused, I knew that God wasn't the cause of it. I know that if he's not the author of confusion, then he must be the author of what the opposite of confusion is. And that would be clarity. So God is a God of clarity. He's not a God of confusion. So if you've ever struggling to hear God, or you're struggling, confused about certain things, you can use this scripture to pray about and say, well, God, I know I'm confused right now, but I know you're not the author of it. So I'm asking you for clarity in Jesus' name. So you can use this scripture to go to the Father to receive your clarity by faith, right? So he says he's not the author of confusion, but he's a God of peace. God is always about peace, right? And in the other translation, he says, it uses the word instead of confusion, it says disorder. God is not a God of disorder. So that lets me know whenever I see any confusion, I know that's not God. But whenever I see any disorder, I know that's not God, because God doesn't have anything to do with disorder. Now, why is it critical for you to know who your God is? The reason why it's critical for you to know who your God is that you can identify what he is not. Okay. And that's critical for us to understand, to identify what he is not, because I don't want to ever be confused about what God is doing. So I know right now if I see any disorder that has to do with anything, I know my God is not involved in that, because he's a God of order. Right. And so why that's critical for us to understand. If he's saying he's not a God of disorder, he's inherently saying he's a God of order. So that means that God is always going to associate himself with order. Because let's say if God was involved in disorder sometime, just let's say he was in disorder a couple of times, like, you know how in your house, you know, some days you do dishes, some days you don't. That would kind of make us confused at who he was, because his behavior wouldn't be consistent enough to identify him. So God lets us know who he is to let us know that I am consistent. There's not one day I wouldn't do the dishes. Matter of fact, you know, it's an empty dish. Whenever you see an empty dishes, you know, it's me. And he's saying, whenever you see order, you know that's me. Whenever you see disorder, you know that's not me, because I'm not sometimes in order, sometimes out of order. No, you can identify me, but my character, you can identify with my nature. I'm order all the time, because if I'm sometimes order, I'm sometimes not, then you can't really get to know me. I'm not consistent in my behavior enough for you to get to know. And then, is my word actually true? Am I lying then? Because if I say I'm a God of order, but sometimes I do disorder, then I have lied. And then I also said about myself that I'm not a liar. So when God says something about himself, he is saying that about himself to be distinguishable, that you can know my God is not a liar. And if he say he's a God of order, he means no matter what the situation is, no matter what the circumstance is, anything he's involved with, it's in order. There's order in the world. There's order in the planets. There's order in time. Everything God had to do with and created, it has order to it. All right. Now, let's go into a definition, all right? So we know God is a God of order, and we see the story of this woman and Jesus healing. And so I want to go into the definition of sickness. Let's talk about what sickness is, because I believe it will help us, all right? So we know God is a God of order, and when we look, the natural definition of sickness, I want to talk about first, and then I'll talk about what sickness is in the scriptures, okay? Now, the definition of sickness, and I've gotten this out of various vehicles like Merriam and Webster's or Google or American Standard. There's a whole bunch of them. And so I just picked out the ones that I saw. All right. Now, the definition of sickness means illness. When you are sick, you are ill. Okay. Sickness also means ailment. And an ailment is an illness, typically a minor one. So when you have an ailment, you have an illness, but it's a minor one. Okay. Sickness also means afflictions. When you are sick, you are afflicted. And an affliction means something that causes pain or suffering. So an affliction, when I have an affliction, that's something that's causing me pain or suffering. Sickness is also an infection. When you have an infection, you are sick. And an infection is the process of infecting or the state of being infected, right? And when you are infected, you are infected with a disease-causing organism. Okay? You are infected with a disease-causing organism. Or an infection is a contaminant, right? And we know that air can be contaminated, water can be contaminated with harmful disease-causing organisms or viruses, right? So sometimes we can get infected by things from the outside. I want you to know, we not things that we personally do, because we talk about global warming right now and the environment and how much toxins and all of the things that are in our water and our air that we ingest and we drink that we don't readily have control over, we can get infected by those things, or these things can cause us to be sick. We just look at the actual environmental incident that is happening in Ohio as we speak in this March 2023, or this February going into March 2023, and we see that people are concerned about the contaminants that could be possibly in their communities and the disease causing organisms that can infect people and make them sick, because sickness is infection. Also, sickness means infirmity. Oh, we just read that word when it came to the woman. All right. And an infirmity means a physical or mental weakness. So that would connect, that would hold true, because when the word was used infirmity in the Bible, she was bowed over. She had something physical with her, right? And infirmity means physical or mental weakness. Okay. Then the next definition that it has for sickness is disease, or a lot of people like to say dis-ease. that sickness is a disruption to ease, right? And a disease means a disorder. A disorder of structure or function in a human, animal, or plant. Okay. Disease is a disorder of structure or function in a human, an animal, or plant. All right. And this disease, all right, can cause symptoms, signs, or anatomical changes. Okay. So dis-ease or disease is a disorder of structure or function of a being, animal, or plant. I need you to hear that. It's disorder of a structure. So when I have a disease, I have a disorder. Okay. And the final definition, and this was so interesting, in the group of definition of sickness, it actually has the word disorder. A disorder is a state of confusion. Interesting. Disorder is a state of confusion, the disruption of peaceful and law-abiding behavior, an illness or condition that disrupts normal physical or mental functions. Oh, look at that. A disorder, a sickness is by definition a disorder, a state of confusion, a disruption, or peaceful and law-abiding behavior, an illness or condition that disrupts normal physical or mental functions. All right, y'all. As we end this first session, and we just went through Luke 13:11, talked about what we're going to cover, and we talked about 1 Corinthians 14:33, which says that our God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Or in another version, our God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. And we looked at the very definition of sickness is disorder, a state of confusion or the disruption of peaceful and law-abiding behavior, an illness or a condition that is disruptive to normal or mental function. I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, that if your God is a God of order, if your God is not the author of confusion, that he is a God of peace, then how in the world could he ever be behind sickness? How in the world could he be connected to sickness at all? Because by definition, sickness is disorder. By definition, sickness is disruption of peace. By definition, it is a disruption of normal physical or mental function. So if sickness is disorder, that means healing puts what was out of order back into order. And that means health then is order. So as we begin this journey, I want you to know by definition, just the natural definition, before we get into anything spiritual, that your God could never be behind sickness. Why? Because by definition, it is disorder. By definition, it is a disruption. If I was somewhere preaching, but I ain't preaching, we talk and we having conversation. That makes me happy because nobody can now tell me that God is behind sickness at all in any circumstance. Because if he's telling me a God of order, but then would bring sickness into my life that's disorder, how do I know now he's lying? Now it's something wrong. Because you said you was a God of order, but what you brung has created disorder. Order and it's created disruption. And now this is from you. Are you order? Are you not order? Are you order sometimes? Or are you order not a lot? Are you order whenever you feel like it, when you get in the mood? When are you order? But I'm here to tell you, he's order all the time. He's every order every moment, every second of the day. And sickness is disorder. Your God is not connected to any sickness ever. Ever. I need you to know that. So when Jesus sees this woman bound for 18 years, operating in disorder for 18 years, where it has disrupted the physical function of her back. Jesus, who represents the Father, he says, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Anything I do, the Father does, right? So every healing that Jesus did, the Father would co-sign. And this woman, he seen her in disorder and touched her and put her in order. And you notice when she was in order, her back straightened up to what it was normally supposed to be. But it said Satan had bound her. So we see Satan causing the disorder, but God bringing things back into order. And I want you to know, as we begin this, whatever you're struggling with, I don't care what it is, that's out of order in your body. It's out of order in your mind. It's out of order in your spirit. Out of order in your relationships. Out of order in your finances. You serve a God that's coming and who sees you. And this word is coming to bring your life back in order. All right, y'all. I'll see you next episode. All right, y'all, we back, and we're talking about health is wealth. And last episode, we talked about how sickness is disorder and healing is order, right? Now, I want to go into another scripture, Matthew 8:14. And remember the questions that I said we highlighting along the way. If you wrote them down, I want you to go and look over those questions and see, because I think I've answered some of them already. At least the third one is sickness of God. Well, it can't be of God because he's a God of order and sickness is disorder. And we know that what sickness is now. It's an illness, it's an ailment, it's an affliction, it's an infection, an infirmity, a disease, and it is disorder. Now, turn to Matthew if you're following along with Matthew chapter 8, verse 14. Matthew chapter 8, verse 14. And it says, when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother. So he saw his wife's mother-in-law, right? Laid. Okay. Well, she was laid. She was laying down. Why was his wife's mother laying down? Oh, she was sick of a fever. Now, just to pause right there, we can see already this disorder, because she is not walking around. She is laid down. And what has made her to lay down is this fever. And a fever is a disorder of your body temperature. Right. Because I think your body temperature, and y'all can correct me because we got the Googles to keep me straight. Right. We can Google it. Google's a friend. And so I think it's 98.6 that your body is the normal temperature of your body. And when you have a fever, you begin to elevate beyond that. And that fever is letting you know something is wrong in your body. And so she has this fever, and this fever, we can deduce that this fever has taken this woman's energy, because she is laid, the Bible said. And so she's sick of this fever. Her body temperature is out of order. Okay. And it may be due to, maybe she might have an infection. Maybe there's possibly an injury, because sometimes if things happen, you can cause you to go into a fever. So the Bible doesn't really say the origin of the fever. We just know she has one, right? But a fever is a disorder in your body temperature. It's not a regular body temperature. And the Bible says, and Jesus touched her hand, and the fever left her. Oh my God. Look at that. And she arose. Oh, look at the first thing she did when the fever left her. She arose. And then she ministered unto them. That's interesting, right? And the Bible says, and when the evening was come, they brought unto him many. They brought unto Jesus many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the devils, or the spirits, with his word. And he healed all that were sick. He healed all that were sick. Now, I want you to see certain key things in this scripture. And the number one thing I want you to see is that sickness comes after your ministry. Sickness comes after your ministry. When I mean come to after, I mean attacking your ministry. Where do I get this from? Well, we see the fever had her lame, and whenever you sick, it causes you to be focused on you, right? Because you may not have enough energy. You gotta take medicine. You gotta get well, and you're not able to do many things often when you are sick. So it hinders whatever ministry or blessing or giving you could be to other people, because sickness causes you to concentrate on you. Not in a good way either, right? Right. We thank God that we should concentrate on us. And I'm for self-care. If you watched any of my lives, I've actually contributed to people's self-care financially. Okay. So I'm a big proponent of self-care. But when we're sick, it's not self-care to have health maintenance. All right. It is care to have health survival. Right. Which is a totally different deal. And so this fever has now laid her down. And we see that when Jesus touched her hand and when the fever left, the Bible says she arose. So no more laying down. She arose and then began to minister unto them. So now, because she wasn't sick, she was able to minister. So I'm here to let you know, sickness is coming after your ministry, because it causes you to worry about yourself. And now, because it's coming after your ability, it's coming to minister with your gifting. It's coming after your ability to help others. So you shouldn't be surprised at an attack of sickness, because now we know what is coming after. Is coming after our ministry and the exercising of our gift, the exercising of how we help people. If you got a business, you help a lot of people through your business, whether that's a product or a service, or you give a lot of love and you're an encourager and you are a person that talks to people, and you may be a minister in the church or outside the church, or you may be a staple for your family, that you are the person that plans all the trips, and you are the person that considers everybody and calling everyone and mediates all the situation. And you are a giving person. And I want you to know that when you are under the attack of sickness, or when sickness comes to attack you, it's coming after the ministry that you've been doing. It's coming to lay you down. It's coming to lay you down so you can't minister, like it did to Peter's mother-in-law. But we thank God for the touch of Jesus that made the fever left and she arose. All right. So I want you to see that in the script, that sickness was coming after your ministry. It's coming after your ministry. That's the first thing I want you to see. The number two thing I want you to see is that Jesus healed all that were sick. Number two, Jesus healed all that were sick. That's so interesting. He healed everybody who was sick. Now, it's interesting, before in our first episode, I mentioned there was a terminology used when we talked about the woman who was bowed over for 18 years. It said that she was a daughter of Abraham that spoke to her covenant. I upgraded that vernacular to say that in our thinking, she was saved. She was saved. She had a covenant with God, and she still was bowed over. She still was bowed and bound by the devil, even though she was saved. So I said in our previous episode, it's possible to be sick and saved. But there's no mention of people being sons or daughters in Abraham, of the people he's healing in this scripture. So we have an example of him healing the saved, and we have an example of him healing the unsaved. Okay. Now, if you look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, it says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. Now, I want to stop right there to show you that teaching creates an atmosphere for miracles and healings, because he went about teaching. And when there were other times in the Bible that people didn't get healed, the Bible says he went about teaching. So his answer to starting a miracle environment or a healing environment was teaching, and his combating an unbelieving environment was teaching. Right. So he teaching on both ends. So this teaching, I'm priming the atmosphere for your healing. I'm priming because faith comes by hearing, and God is giving you the faith to be healed. Because he said, he showed you an example in a previous episode that he healed people who were saved, who were daughters of Abraham. But here there's no mention. And he said, and in verse 4:23, he says he went about Galilee teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Once again, no mention of people being daughters or sons of Abraham. No mention of that. No mention of that. And if you really want to be technical, I could bring up some other examples of Jesus healing the centurion servant. He's a centurion. He's a Roman. He doesn't have a covenant with God. He's actually a Gentile. Then you have another woman who was standing instead of us. Syrophoenician woman stand in proxy for her daughter. So we have people in the Bible who were not covenant people that still got healed. Jesus still healed them. Now, I wanted to give you an example of Jesus healing people who are saved and healing people who are not saved, or healing people who are saved and healing people who are not saved, because I want to drive home in your mind that healing is not of God, no matter who has a sickness is not of God, no matter who is sick. I want to drive that home. Sickness is not of God, no matter who is sick. Sometimes in the Christian community, especially in modern day society, we demonize certain behavior. And when sickness and infirmity come because of that behavior, it's almost like people relish in it. It's almost like people are happy that people get sick because the sickness is to teach them a lesson about their sin or their bad behavior. But God is a God of order, and sickness is disorder. He's not about it at all. Matter of fact, when we saw the previous example in episode 1, he said that Satan had brought that. And think about it. If God is doing something that Satan is doing, we in trouble. But God is not doing that. He loosed her. Satan bound her. And sometimes we got this superiority as believers that even though they acting in sinful ways and they get sick, they deserve to be like that. Okay, let Pastor bring it home. I am old enough to remember being at the height. I remember it at its height, the heights of the AIDS epidemic. I don't know if some of you remember that. You might be old enough to remember the height of the AIDS epidemic. I remember one particular time there was a quilt. I remember watching TV about a quilt that they had made with all of the people who had died of AIDS. And this quilt was huge. There were so many names on this quilt, and people would come from miles around to come see it and to connect with people who had lost loved ones. And it became like a community of strength for people and a community of comfort for people who had lost people due to AIDS. I remember that. I remember watching that, and people were dying of AIDS. I remember watching the movie Philadelphia with Tom Hanks and Denzel Washington about Tom Hanks' character who was gay and he had AIDS and he died in that movie. And that was a really pivotal and critical movie of that time to shed light on how people with differences, how certain relationship bonding can bring them together. I remember all of those things. And I also remember in the Christian community, those people were demonized because it was looked at as AIDS was the gay man's disease. And some publications even made that title for it, that because the people participated in homosexuality, that's what they get. That's what they get. They're acting like that. They're doing things against God and this abomination before God. And they deserve to be like that. I remember that. And some of you may have relatives and people who don't behave in ways that you may deem righteous and may engage in certain things that you don't agree with, and they meet certain consequences, especially from a sickness perspective, and you relish in it. You're the first one to point your finger in an I told you so moment. But sickness is not of God at all. It is not of God. It is disorder, no matter who gets it or how they get it. It is disorder. And the Bible says that Jesus went around healing all manner of sickness, all manner of disease among the people. So whatever the sickness was, he healed it. No matter what the disease was, he healed it. And if you really want to be technical, ain't none of these people saved. The only covenant available was the covenant of Abraham. And I know Jesus' ministry was really restricted to the nation of Israel, because he even told the disciples, he says, look, when you go, I don't want you to go to Samaria. I don't want you to go to any other place. I want you to go to the lost sheep of Israel. And that's primarily where the healing ministry of Jesus started. But there were other people that got healed hanging around Jesus, because he said he healed all of them. So we don't know who came. We don't know if everybody was a Jew or some stragglers had came. When you come to see Jesus, everybody run into Jesus. But no matter who came, everybody was healed from all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. Now, I want to just go over in terms of the scriptural understanding of sickness and disease, because we already looked at kind of the Merriam and Webster's definition. I want to go over kind of when it says sickness and disease, what it kind of means. And so when you see sickness and as mentioned in the scriptures, sickness represents a managed health condition that has no cure. And usually the managed health condition that it is referencing is an injury or a disability. An injury or disabilities. So I'm letting you know, when he said he healed all manner of sickness, right? All manner of sickness. Sickness is a managed health condition. And Jesus healed all manner of sickness. So any injury, he healed it. And some of us got injuries. Some of us have played sports. Some of us have things we fell and we got injury. We did something and we broke our wrist. And from that time on, we've been going through something. But I'm here to let you know that any injury, Jesus healed it. And so you could be like that woman going through that injury for 18 years. I want you to know you can be healed of that injury. Also, the Bible says that injury is a disability. And when we look at Matthew chapter 15, verses 29 through 30, it kind of lets us know what the disabilities are. And the disabilities are the lame, people who can't walk or people who are paralyzed, the blind, people who cannot see, the dumb or people who cannot speak, or the maimed, people who are partially disabled, right? And so whether they were lame, they were blind, they were dumb, they were maimed, they had a disability, which represents a sickness, and Jesus healed all manner of sickness. So he healed people that were paralyzed. He healed people that were blind. He healed people that were dumb, and he healed people that were maimed. So if you are lame, if you are blind, if you can't speak, if you are maimed, I'm letting you know Jesus can heal you. Jesus can heal you. So that's what the scriptures reference to sickness and then disease, 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 disease. He said he healed all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So it's indicating those are kind of separate things. And so we saw the sickness, the manner of sickness. Now look, let's look at the manner of disease, what it means by disease. Diseases are diagnosed conditions, diagnosed usually by a physician or a person who reviews the health of another, right? So diseases are diagnosed conditions that can have a cure or don't have a cure, right? And so when we hear the word disease, they are diagnosed conditions by a physician, and they include infectious diseases, right? So when he healed all manner of disease, he healed infectious diseases. And infectious diseases would be microorganisms, funguses, viruses, bacterias, parasites, and anything that can be transferred to another. Any disease, infection that can be transferred to another would include COVID-19, would include STDs. So that would be herpes, that would be syphilis, gonorrhea, AIDS, anything, any STD, any cold, any flu, tuberculosis, any infectious disease, he healed it. Also, when we talk about disease, there are diseases that are hereditary, diseases that run in families, that are caused by our genetic makeup, right? Sometimes we have things that go on in our bodies that are hereditary, that are genetics created. And those can include heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, cancer, sickle cell anemia, cystic fibrosis, dementia, eye diseases, cataracts, glaucoma, arthritis, gout, and blood clots. And when the Bible says he healed all manner of diseases, he healed all hereditary diseases. Any hereditary disease that was out there at that moment, he healed it. And then sometimes diseases are deficiency diseases, and deficiency diseases are diseases from insufficient supply of dietary elements, that sometimes you're going through a sickness in your body because you have an insufficient supply of a dietary element, like you have the lack of vitamins or minerals in your body. You might have the lack of vitamin A or B. You might have the lack of calcium. You might have the lack of iron for people who are anemic. And I want you to know that any deficient diseases that were out there, he healed them. And then some people have psychological diseases, things that affect people's mood. Their thinking, their behavior would include clinical depression, bipolar, anxiety disorder, mood swings, etc. Any psychological diseases that were out there, he healed them. The Bible says he healed all manner of sickness, all manner. And what does all mean? Would there be anything excluded out of all? All means all. So if it was infectious, if it was hereditary, if it was deficient, if it was psychological disease, if it was a disability, if it was an injury, sickness, if it had a cure or if it didn't, Jesus healed it. And so I want you to know, whatever sickness or disease you may have, however long you have had it, Jesus can heal you. You, just because you have it, don't mean you have to. Just because you have it, don't mean you have to. You, like that woman, can be free. And you might say, Pastor, I've been dealing with this for so long. There's no cure for this, Pastor. Pastor, how in the world? I'm lame, Pastor. I got prosthetics, Pastor. You don't know I've been dealing with this, Pastor. I don't even want to hear this, Pastor. Don't give me any hope, Pastor. And there's some people that don't want this preaching to go forth because they don't want people to have hope or false hope. Well, I'm not here to give people no false hope. I'm just here to give people what the word says. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus can heal you. Question is, do you believe he can? Or the question rather is, wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be healed? Wow. Pastor, why would you even ask me that? Well, Jesus asked that to someone. He asked, and isn't that almost, when I first read it, it was a crazy question to ask. Why would you even ask somebody, wilt thou be made whole? Isn't the answer a no-brainer? Isn't that a stupid question? But as I've grown in God, and as I've grown as a pastor and as a man and as a person, it is a very important question. Wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be healed? Have you been sick so long is your normal? And normal becomes comfortable no matter what it is. And sometimes we've been sick so long, we've built mechanism around our lives that is now normal and easy to function with this sickness. And to be healed will disrupt our comfort zone. And for some of you, you may think, oh my God, blah, blah. No. I'm talking, it's a very serious thing. Because for some, that sickness comes with sympathy. And they've built their life around that sympathy. Somebody comes to the house every week and helps them, and people call them and give them gifts and give them money and give them all types of resources and care. And to exchange the healing for this bond, now there's no more sympathy. And what would my life be like without this sympathy? What would my life be like without this care? So the question, will that be made whole? You'd be surprised. The buildings we have built with our bondage that we now live in and dine in and relax in, because our bondage is now more comfortable than our healing. And a man like me giving the hope that a person could be healed to tear down all of those bricks that were built can make people mad. Like in episode one, where we see there's people from the synagogue and that woman is healed. And then all of a sudden their indignation kick in and say, hold on now. You've healed outside of our system. This is the Sabbath day. We built mechanisms around this day. You're upsetting our way of life with this healing. And will healing upset your or other people's way of life? They're used to caring for you. They're used to using you. There's certain people that use you to get off their job because they take care of you. There's certain people that use taking care of you as a notch on their belt. There's certain people that use taking care of you and being at your aid and helping you with their sickness. And they got self-esteem and they got validation. And your sickness blows so many things up, that things that you are conscious about, things that you are unconscious about. Will thou be made whole? Because sometimes you won't be willing to let go of that sympathy. Sometimes people are not willing to let go of the stature it brings them. Oh, yeah. I got my handicap sticker. I love parking in the front of all the malls. Yeah, even you get sympathy from the corporations and company. Oh, yeah. I get all of the accoutrements of being disabled. I come in, they give me the cart to ride around in, and I love it, and I appreciate it. And sometimes people don't want to give that up to be well. Sometimes it's the money. Yes, some people get money for being disabled. Some people get money when they're sick. And what I'm going to do without that source of income? And so the fear of losing the money is greater than the faith to be well. And now we don't understand what we're really connecting ourselves to, because if Satan brings the bonds of sickness, then to accept that money, if we could be healed, is creating and accepting Satan's substitute. And how in the world are we going to prosper if Satan pays us? That we don't want to let go of those mechanisms because, oh, now, Pastor, I can't. My check. I'm not getting rid of my check. No, my check come every month, Pastor. How am I going to live? I'm going to survive, Pastor. No. I'd rather be sick because the sickness sustains me. But is sickness of the devil, is it coming to sustain you? Or often coming to subvert you from your destiny and even subvert your spirit from your body and take you up out of here? You need to know that you cannot mess with sickness at all for the sympathy it brings or the substance. No. Because sickness is disorder. Sickness is disorder. And I'll say this as we wind this podcast down. And the reason why you never want to flirt with sickness, not for no parking space, not for no check, because really what the devil is really doing through the sickness, because here's what you got to understand about the devil. Okay. He is damned. He is damned. His fate is already sealed, right? But he hates man, right? Because God didn't give man all these privileges. He's made man in his image and his likeness. And some of you have dealt with a person like this. It may have not been Satan. It may have been Steve. And Steve lost you, right? Right. He lost you. You broke up with Steve, right? And so Steve really, really can't be in a relationship with you no more because you have canceled Steve. So now what the only thing Steve can do, because he can't be with you in relationship no more, all Steve can do is bring you pain. All Steve can do is bring you suffering. And that's what Satan wants to do. Since his fate is damned, he cannot be redeemed. All he wants to do is bring pain and suffering to what God loves. And that's God's children. That's where he gets his purpose, his joy, to bring pain and suffering to God's children. And when you flirt with sickness, now here's the thing about people who don't understand about sickness. If I flirt with it and let's say I get a sickness that I can manage. Well, sickness goal ultimately, right? Sickness's goal to ultimately is to kill me. Well, how do I know that? Well, if sickness or if disorder is allowed to run in your body on a consistent basis without it being addressed, it can cause death. You know, there's a time in human history, people died of a common cold. People died of the flu because there was not things to address it. And a flu unaddressed for days, for weeks, for months could lead to your death. And so, if we entertain sickness, then on the backside of sickness comes his cousin, suffering. And on the backside of suffering comes his cousin, his big brother, actually, which is pain. Because eventually sickness is going to connect you to suffer, and suffering is going to connect you to pain. And pain is a tailored suit, because even though you might be okay with the sickness, you never know the pain that's going to come from it. Because even if you've seen it happen, because pain is a tailored suit, meaning we can both go through the same thing, but not have the same feeling about it. Or we can go through the same ailment, but our pain tolerance would be different. about it. And so what that sickness could bring is a suffering and pain that you weren't equipped to carry it. And that suffering and pain could be so great. Suffering and pain has literally made people quit on life and say, listen, I want to be out of here because of the pain and the suffering. So that's why we don't want to flirt at sickness at all, because we don't want his cousin and his brother suffering in pain. And you got in it for the handicap sticker, and you thought the devil was paying to get you at the head when he was really trying to set you up to be in a hospital reeked with pain. But you didn't see that down the line. When he gave you the cigarettes, he gave you peace on the front end through the exhaling of that smoke with the cigarettes. But you didn't see the morphine that you were going to need on the other end due to the lung cancer that you had from the cigarette. See, because we don't understand that there's a pain and a suffering that sickness is coming to ultimately bring. That is why it ain't worth no parking spot. It ain't worth no amount of money, because your health is your wealth. Not your dollars and cents. Your health is your wealth. And you need to know that every time that sickness comes to your body, it is coming to take you up out of here. So that's why you and I have to fight sickness with everything that is in us. That we have to fight it kicking and screaming to the grave. That we just don't allow sickness in our body unaddressed. Because we know what it's coming to do. It's coming to bring suffering. It's coming to bring pain. It's coming to bring disorder in our lives. And that is not of God. So, I want you, for those of you who have built these systems around your sickness, these normalities that keep you from being made whole, I ask you the same question that Jesus asked. Hearing all of this, wilt thou be made whole? I'll see y'all next session.